Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and we have done this 200 times! Congratulations!
I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger, and I have also done this 200 times. Oh my god. More, counting the times we fucked it up and had to re-record, honestly.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm Bex, and I'm a sex educator. Fuck, I've done this 201 times.
I feel like we usually nail the beginning part. It's just after that when we start to go downhill a little bit in terms of making sense and being articulate. But
yeah.
Yeah, so this is our 200th episode. I actually just got a text from my partner right before we started that said, give my best to Bex. You two have made a good thing. And we have.
Aww, we did. We made a cool thing.
Yeah, how are you feeling about 200?
That's what, I don't know that I've ever stuck with anything this long. I mean, this is, like, probably one of the things I'm prouder of creating in the world.
Yeah.
It's really fucking rad, and that we've been able to do it with as much consistency as we have is fucking amazing.
Yeah, and with as much support as well. Like, I don't really remember what I was expecting in terms of, like, would we have millions of listeners or just a couple of dozen, but I am very thrilled with the audience that we do have. I think that they reach out to me a lot, and they're just, like, such sweet folks and very sex nerdy like us, so that's great.
We certainly have found our people.
Yes. If you've
or they've found us.
If you've stuck with us for 200 episodes, congrats to you too. If you haven't, that's fine. There's a lot of
Don't
weird shit
back
there, though.
Yeah. I vouch for nothing prior to, like, episode 100, honestly, at this point.
Yeah, that might even be cutting it close. Like, our early episodes, we were in such a different place in our lives, sexually and otherwise, and it's very funny to me to listen to them back now. I was, like, fucking around on Tinder and had a lot of strong opinions about what cis dudes should and should not do during hookups. And I still do, but it's, like, not as relevant to my immediate existence, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know if I could go back and listen. Like, I'm that person who, if I find a podcast I like, I listen from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so every time, like, someone is like, oh, I just started listening to your show, I'm like, oh, God. Good luck.
Yeah, things are pretty different. I definitely feel like I've become more articulate as a result of doing this show, and I realize that they may or may not be evidenced in the actual show itself, but I feel like I can string a sentence together much better without a lot of ums and ahs and diversions and digressions in a way that I was not able to when we started, so that's good.
Yeah, I definitely... I was going to say I feel that as well, and then I ran out of words, so maybe not. Fuck me, I guess. Shit.
That's fine.
Occasionally I sound clever on this show. No idea if the frequency of that has increased, but let's hope it did.
It comes and it goes. So I put a call out to our wonderful listeners to ask what they thought we should do for our 200th episode, because I have no energy and I'm chronically ill and don't have ideas. And people had a lot of ideas, but the one that I ended up really liking was a submission from Ari. I replied to Ari to ask for his pronouns, and he also supplied to me that his name is Ari, rhymes with safari, which I really appreciate. Thank you. And his idea was that we should talk about kind of milestones, because this is a milestone. And so I crowdsourced a bunch of questions from listeners that are basically like the first time you did XXX. I meant XYZ, but they are sex related, so I guess XXX works. So there's just a lot of like sex and relationships related milestones on this list. And I thought we could just like sort of take turns picking different things from the list and hear each other's stories. Should I go first, or do you want to go first?
You can go first.
Okay. Here's a story. I don't know if I know this one about you. What was your first time going to a sex shop?
So, the first sex shop I went to was a small chain of sex shops out on Long Island. I think there's like 3 or 4 of them, but it is like the sex shop out there that folks have heard of. And I was not quite old enough to be in the establishment, and certainly not a good enough liar to be in the establishment. but I managed to, I just wandered in and like no one gave me shit, and I was there with a partner and just kind of explored and looked around. And then when we went to buy stuff, they asked to ID us, and he was old enough, so he had his ID and wallet and like did his thing. And I was like, I don't have one, I guess I'll just go wait outside. Oh darn. And I think we wound up getting I got one of those like insertable remote control vibes.
Ooh, classic.
Because they're really hot in concept, and at the time I didn't know they also rarely work, and certainly not when you spend $35 on
it's
them.
It's so true. They seem so promising. And so they I really understand do. Why people are very excited about them when they first start looking into sex toys, but you learn very quickly almost none of them are as good as you would even hope would be the minimum level of goodness.
Exactly. Like, you need to go luxury to get something that'll even passably do the thing it's supposed to do.
Yeah, it sucks.
And even then, it's not the experience they sell you. But, like, there are a few solid rechargeable ones. And even now, I would say what you could get for, like, $40 to $60 is a hell of a lot better than it was when I did that, which...
Yeah, for sure.
God, was a decade ago at this point. Or more. Shit.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Shit.
So I gather the toy didn't work out all that well for you?
Nah. Nah, I used it, like, twice. It was not... It was louder than it was... Like, than it gave sensation. and... Once it was inside me, it was the signal to change things didn't actually, like, penetrate through skin.
Yeah.
Which is a weird problem. But, again, a very prevalent one, given the genre of toy.
Yeah, it's very weird how often even just having a thigh between you and the remote and the vibe is enough to make it not work. I'm like,
yeah,
if you have a problem with my thigh, you're really going to have a problem with my labia, but okay.
Okay, let's go with a kink one for you. What was your first time trying power exchange on purpose?
This one's really tricky because, like, having been in the kink scene for so long, I now understand that just because you're doing things that vanilla people think are kinky, like spanking or using nipple clamps, does not necessarily mean that you're doing any kind of, like, power exchange. Because I have a very distinct memory of, like, being with my very vanilla first serious boyfriend, and I received a Tantus silicone paddle to review for my site, and I was like, hey, I have to try this. And it was sort of awkward because, like, I knew I was very curious about spanking and in particular about being hit, and I also knew from our past conversations that, like, he didn't really have much of an interest in this. Like, he's very much the type of dude who's like, if you're into it, I'll do it, but, like, it's for you, which is great up until a point. So we used it enough that I was able to, like, get a sense for what the toy would be like. But I think the first time I remember actually doing power exchange was with this, like, dommy fuck buddy I had a few years later, who turned out to be an abusive shithead, actually, but, like, in his relationship with me was, like, always fairly good, with a couple of key exceptions that I can recall. But yeah, he was, like, the first, like, dominant person I really played with, and I remember he would, like, text me things before I was gonna come and see him about, like, don't wear panties, or, like, bring this vibe, or, like, get yourself turned on earlier in the day, but don't come and wait for me. And just stuff like that, where it was like, I had been deeply craving this for so many years, and it was so exciting to try it out. And I didn't even mind that it was in like a non-romantic situation. I actually think it made it easier for me, because it was like I got to ease into it without complicating a relationship that I like cared a lot about. I do remember, like, to talk about like a distinct experience, I remember him spanking me while I had Kegel balls inside me, which was something I had like read about somewhere and wanted to try, and which
I think that's in 50 Shades, honestly.
Yeah, quite possibly. But if it is one of the better suggestions in 50 Shades, because every time they hit you, the little balls jiggle around in there, and it's like, oh, they both improved through this.
I think 50 Shades does like the Benoit balls, the ones that are not like in the
If they're not the jiggly ones, I don't give a shit.
Which don't jiggle? Yeah, exactly. Which reads to me like someone who read a kink suggestion somewhere and fully misunderstood it.
Yes, I mean, this is why when I worked at a sex shop, people would come in and ask for the Kegel balls. And sometimes they would be like, and this is going to make me cum, right? And I would be like, no, who told you that? And they would be like, E.L. James. And I'd be like, well, makes sense.
Yeah, well, that's why I know about it, because it, like, it's the thing I always got asked about when selling them in sex shops, and had to explain, no, that's not actually even how they work. That's not even, it's a totally different product than you think it is.
If you know from past experience that a very mild jiggling sensation in your vagina is what gets you off, by all means.
What other possible experience would you know that from?
I don't know, but if you do, I got the toy for you. All right. Here's something I want to know. Do you recall either the first time or like an early time that you felt the feeling of wanting to fuck someone, like someone specific?
Honestly, no. But I think that's also kind of interesting. Because for me, I, like, all of my teenage sexual memories, more or less, are more memories of curiosities I had about, like, experiences around sexuality. And, like, I remember reading, like, I remember when my friends, I remember discovering straight fan fiction online and being like, oh, this gives me feelings. And I remember, because I was like going into one of the fandoms of my favorite shows and stumbled across it and was like, why is his dick in her mouth? Tell me more.
Yeah.
And I remember like friends introducing me to slash fiction and being like, have you ever heard of this thing? We like reading the gay kind. And I was like, once again, tell me more.
I was going to say the free straight fan fiction is pretty funny to me, because I don't know that I've ever really, I mean, the times that I've sought that out have been kind of rare.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in the Bones fandom. So of course there was a ton of that.
Yeah.
But like immediately I met friends who were like, great, but let's tell you about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having crushes on people in high school. But I don't have like a memory of a visceral feeling about like particular people. And I'm curious how much of that, because so much of my early sexuality was very intellectual and very, like, it was something I explored through my own curiosity, less than something through my body. Like, I was reading smut for at least a year before I started jerking off. And I'm curious how much of that has to do with, like, unaddressed dysphoria and not placing myself in my own fantasies.
Right.
Like, my fantasy life just kind of existing separate from me.
When you...
As, like... Oh, go ahead.
That makes a lot of sense, but like I'm curious, when you were reading fan fiction for a year and not jerking off, were you like turned on? Were you aware of being turned on? Like, what was going on? What were you doing?
Yeah, it was I mean, this sounds hella clinical, but the best word I can say is stimulating. Mm-hmm. Like, it was interesting. It piqued my curiosity. It turned me on. It made me feel a warm, tingly, like, romantic feelings and, like, warm, fuzzy feelings. And, like, yeah, it was definitely a sexual experience for me. Mm-hmm. But I was more... epic foreshadowing. I was more interested in exploring the stories and the characters and, like... learning about the ways sexuality manifests in all of these people and, like, experiencing sexuality through their eyes, almost, mm-hmm. rather than, like, looking at it as a direct reflection onto me. And again, I was reading a lot of gay smut between cis dudes, so...
Yeah.
Naturally. So I think there also just wasn't an extrapolation. Like, I feel like part of my, like... I feel like if I had had a dick, I would have been jerking off, and my brain was just like, I don't have one of those to do the thing that I'm reading about, so I suppose I will just keep reading about the thing and move on. And at no point, like, transferred to, like, well, you could do shit to the bits you do have.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, nah, I'm reading about dicks, though.
I think that's probably actually a surprisingly common experience, just based on, like, what I know about the queer and trans demographics of the fanfiction consuming community, that rings true probably for a lot of folks.
Yeah, I didn't start jerking off until I had my first girlfriend, and she was like, consider orgasms.
Right.
Just a thought.
So a life-changing suggestion.
Well, this is along the same lines as those. Do you remember the first time you saw porn?
Yes, very distinctly. I remember I was hanging out with my mom, and we were, like, sitting on the couch watching TV late at night, which was a frequent activity throughout my youth. Mm-hmm. My mom's a lifelong night owl, so am I. So we would just stay up, like, far too late for me being a school-aged child, but... it was always fun and a learning experience. And my mom was just, like, flipping through the channels, whatever. And we happened upon what I very distinctly remember was a lesbian porn scene in a hot tub. And one woman was going down on another woman. And my mom made some comment, and now I'm trying to remember what she said, because it either... maybe it was both of these things. I remember maybe she commented on the person's pubic hair, which was quite significant, or she said something like, that looks like it feels good, or something like that. Either way, it was a comment that made me feel like, oh, she's not embarrassed or weirded out that we just happened upon this. Like, she thinks that this is, like, a pretty normal... piece of media. So I immediately felt more relaxed, and I think we watched it for about 30 seconds, and then she, like, flipped it to a different thing, and it was like,
okay,
like, it definitely didn't, like, make me immediately want to go look at more porn, but I think what it did that was more important than that was it, like, set the tone of, like, my mom's gonna be chill about this stuff, which she continued to be for the rest of my life. So
yeah, and I think that's really an important thing you can do as a parent.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's very commonly taught that, you know, your kid falls down, if you freak out, they're gonna freak out. You know, you stay calm, they might be okay, you know?
Right.
And I feel like that's kind of similar along the lines here. Like, if she had been like, oh God, and changed the channel, and, like, that's nothing you should have ever seen before, you might have gone upstairs and been like, the fuck did I just see? Tell me more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But for, like, 30 seconds of, like, well, this is weird with my mom here, but, like, okay, cool. And then, you know, it just kind of becomes a part of life and a thing you're going to encounter. And I also really appreciate how she, I don't know, treating it like any kind of media can encourage you to use the same media literacy you use with other types of content that you use with porn.
For sure.
Which, again, is not something that I think culturally we're taught or understood to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think particularly the fact that it was lesbian cunnilingus porn probably had lingering effects on me. Like, my sex life for the first several years that I was sexually active was exclusively lesbian cunnilingus. So, like, I don't know if that influenced that, but that's a true thing about me.
Those are two true facts about your life.
Yep. Ooh, do you remember the first time you tasted cum? And I guess we should define cum here as, say, a non-gendered term.
Yeah. Just, like, fluids from people's bits.
Yeah.
Well, that's also piss, which was much later. However...
Yeah, I did not mean that. And I guess I also mean not your own. Because to me, like, I pretty frequently tasted my own on and off just casually as a youth. But it was a much bigger deal to taste someone else's.
Yeah. I mean, I know whose it would have been. I don't know if I remember the distinct moment. I do remember, so I gave several blowjobs before he, like, came in my mouth or just came around me. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I don't know if I remember, like, the first time, but I remember the time prior to that, like, just being very curious and not, like, fully being, like, but I gave a blowjob and it didn't end in cum. Did it, like, I was like, did you not get off? Did I not notice? What, like,
yeah.
What's going on? I don't, I was like, I don't, this is not what I have been led to understand. And I didn't quite, well, that's a lie. I was going to say I didn't quite have the tools to communicate about it. And I guess I didn't, but I did ask quite a few many questions. Being like, tell me everything about penises and how they work. I don't remember being, like, particularly surprised by the taste. I think I was maybe surprised by how bitter it was versus, like, I think I expected saltier, because I think that's just kind of the, like, colloquial understanding of it. And this person had fairly bitter cum. So I think that kind of surprised me, but I think more I was just excited to finally A, experience that, and B, I won the game!
Yeah, a little dopamine hit.
Exactly.
The conditioning, it starts early.
Ooh, this is a good one I have for you, because I know it's something you have opinions about. Or have had gone on a journey with, let's say.
Okay.
Do you remember the first time you had sex on a first date?
Okay, yes, I do remember this story. This was early 2016, and for reference or for context, I guess, like, I'm demisexual. I don't really, like, develop sexual attractions to people until I know them fairly well, which is kind of what you were alluding to there with me having opinions about sex on the first date. And I think, like, to some extent, I've always sort of been like that. And I have sort of, like, acknowledged and accepted it to various different degrees over the course of my sex life. But so on this occasion, I met up with a boy from Tinder, like, really impulsively, probably having a bit of a hypomanic episode, if I'm honest, because that's usually when I would do this. And we went to Comedy Bar. And we, like, chatted before the show over drinks. We really hit it off. I was telling him about my blog. He was like, oh, what were you writing today? And I said, it was a blog post about my clit. And then we just, like, started talking about my clit. Always a good first date convo, I think. And we saw a show.
As you do.
It was good. And then we hung out a little bit afterward. And there's, like, a 24-hour McDonald's down the street from Comedy Bar. Really great place to go after a comedy date if you're ever in Toronto. It's just top notch.
I've definitely been to that McDonald's.
Yes, it's so good. It's so good. I miss it. I used to live over there, and I'm sad. But so we went there. We ordered some food. It was, like, probably midnight or 1 a.m. or something. I was wearing these blue tights, and he was like, can I touch your legs? And I was like, sure. And he was like, I like your tights. And he's, like, touching my legs. And it was, like, pretty sexy, actually, for being in a fluorescently lit McDonald's. And then he said to me this line that I wish so many more people would say, where he was like, if we were to have sex tonight, and I'm not saying that we will, but if we were, what would I need to know to make sure that you have a good time? Like,
That's so good.
Excellent, excellent question.
Yeah.
I told him a few details which were sort of central in my mind at that time about my sexuality. I think spanking was one of them and sex toys was another one. And then, like, it got so late that I was like, I want to sleep. Like, I want to go home and sleep, but, like, I don't really want to stop hanging out with you. So do you want to come over and, like, cuddle? Which, honestly, in retrospect, I don't remember whether I actually wanted him to come over and cuddle or if I was using that as some kind of line. I don't think it really matters because whatever. So he came over. We were, like, legitimately cuddling for a while. And then there was, like, some kissing and some fingering. And I gave him a hand job at his request. And this was the time I've told this story so many times because it still just fills me with delight and confusion in retrospect, but I was giving him a hand job and he said, "Can you pinch the skin on the shaft as hard as you can?" And I said, "Okay, just let me clarify, as hard as I can." And he was like, "Yes." So I did.
Because that is a ballsy thing to say about anything during sex.
Oh, honestly. Yeah. I still have so many questions about this guy, which I didn't get to ask or have answered because our relationship didn't end very well, but on account of him being an unfeminist asshole. But but that I still, like, I never quite gathered the courage to be like, "I'm not judging you. I don't think it's weird. I just, like, really would love to know how you learned that's what you like. Why does that feel good to you? Is it, like, a kind of a masochistic thing or is it something else?" Like, I just am so curious.
Just tell me everything.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And
no, agreed.
I think that he then, after I got him off, because he did come everywhere immediately as soon as I pinched the skin as hard as I could. So that's interesting. And then I...
Did you... Okay, wait. Important question.
Yeah.
Did you start with as hard as you could? Or did you, like, do a little bit and then slowly get to as hard as you could?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that I probably ramped up because, like, especially as a sex educator, I have learned that, like, people in their dirty talk, sometimes there's some hyperbole, you know? Like,
yeah, because I'm always, like, people like as hard as you can, and I'm like, that is a fantasy fun, but as hard as I can is, like, pretty damn hard for some things.
Yeah. I think he actually did a little demo, like, he showed me what he meant on his own body first, so I had a sense of, like, because it looked painful, and I was like, okay, like, yeah. I can do that. But after he came, he fucked me with the Enjoy 11, which I still think, for a cis straight dude to fuck somebody with a giant 11-inch stainless steel dildo on a first date, pretty cool move, like, pretty chill.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of him. I wish that it had worked out and that he hadn't turned out to be shitty, because that first date was so good, but it just went downhill immediately from there.
yeah, it did.
And that is my story.
For the record, ever since you mentioned the pinching thing, I have been pinching my forearm as hard as I can. I don't know why you just said it, and it is a thing that my hands started doing.
But, like, no, it's like, pretty hard, right? Like,
it's pretty hard! Yeah!
I hope he's getting the hand jobs of his dreams somewhere from somebody, I guess.
Yeah.
I know that you have a highly exhibitionistic streak, which is always a funny phrase because there's a pun built right into it, what with streaking. I'm curious if you remember the first time that you ever sent a nude, or, like, I guess any sort of sexy, provocative pic.
Oh. Okay, I don't remember the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think. But I mean, because I was, like, posting lewds on, like, Tumblr from the time I was 18. But the first distinct memory I have of sending photos to, like, a particular person, was this dude that I had been into at a job I had once, but I was in a position of power over him. I was his boss, so, you know, I'm not gonna do shit.
Yeah.
I just acknowledged that that was a thing that was true and tucked it away in the back of my head for a while. occasionally enjoyed flirting with him because he was fun and whatever. And then when he left the company, there was like a week or so before he moved away. And I tried to like hang out in that time, but it didn't happen. And then he moved away and within a week was like, oh, by the way, I always wanted to fuck you.
Whoa. Power.
Because, move. Yeah. And I was like, really, from the other side of the country. Great. This is useful information for me to have now. It's like, well, you could have done something. No, I couldn't. Anyway. So, we wound up, like, that information came out, and either that day or not long after, we wound up staying up all night sexting.
Nice.
And so that person got several nudes, but I distinctly remember he asked for a picture of me blowing a dildo or a video of it or whatever, and I was like, oh no, I can't, my face looks very silly, I don't like, I took them, I took videos and several pictures and was like, oh, absolutely not, no, that's silly, no.
Yeah.
I've grown past that, obviously, now.
Yeah. I definitely had that anxiety when I first started, but I've since learned that, like, most people who have dicks, like, don't actually give a shit if you look kind of silly or weird. They're just focusing on the fact that your mouth is on a dick. Like, I've been told this, I've observed this, so a lot of my anxiety about that has sort of floated away.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And there is copious media of my mouth around dicks now out in the world. BillyLore.manyvids.com.
Nice. Good plug.
Among other things. Ooh, this is a fun one, kind of off of that one. This person asks, do you remember the first time having strap-on sex?
Yes.
But also additionally, I would say, have you gotten strap-on blowjobs?
Gotten, yes. Yeah.
And do you remember those?
Oh gosh.
Just thematically with what we've been talking about.
Yeah, I think that my first strap-on blowjob came from our friend Gwenadora.
Oh my god.
Who we recently had on this show. I think that was the first time because I had dated people before who liked to either give or receive strap-on sex in general. But I think I had just not gotten around to doing the strap-on BJ thing. Partly because there's just, like, a lot of weird cultural baggage about it. Like, why would anybody like that? And it's, like, the answer is, like, the same reason a lot of people like a lot of things in sex. It's about the visuals. It's about the psychological. But, yeah, so I remember me and Gwen got together one day in December 2017. And we went to, like, an erotic arts and crafts fair. And I bought, like, a cute collar and some stuff. And then we went back to my place and we just impulsively were like, let's shoot some porny content and sell it. I think because we wanted to get a pizza and we didn't have enough money for a pizza.
Yep.
So we shot a bunch of stuff of, like, me wearing my cute pink strap-on with a blue dildo, and she was, like, blowing it, and we were, like, making out, and there's definitely a video of it. If you are, like, really highly motivated to see this, you could DM me on Instagram and talk to me about buying this. I would have to dig it up, but it definitely does exist, and I definitely say to her, choke on it. Which is just not very characteristic. I think I'm like, you're so beautiful. Choke on it.
Oh my god.
Yeah, femme that, for femme.
I love that. Did you think back to all of the, like, blowjob porn you watched when you were getting it, your strap-on sucked? Or was it, like, a different process for you? Because, like, I know it's not necessarily, like, a gender thing for you.
Yeah, definitely not. But I do watch a shit ton of POV BJ porn. And I think, I heard a spanking fetishist recently talking about how in the moment of the actual spanking, often it's not hot. Like, it's like, kind of hot, but it's, like, mostly just painful and difficult. So the value of it for them is largely, like, getting excited about the idea of it and then also like reflecting and jerking off to the memory of it. And that's kind of how I felt about the strap-on BJ, where it was like, in the moment, I just felt sort of a little awkward and a little shy. Partly because me and Gwen are like not sexual partners and it just is like kind of an intimate thing to do. But upon rewatching the video, I've been like, yeah, I could get into that. I want to ask you about the first time you had group sex, and I think I may have been there.
You were there that evening, but I don't think you went to the party.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, this was like the night before.
Because then it was the next day.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, so you had, the next day we had a threesome.
You had the oral sex party.
Yes. So I've told this story before. I've told the story on the Risk podcast, actually. But I had gone to Toronto for Playground Conference. And this was back towards the beginning of my, like, active presence in the sex positive community. It was one of the first couple of cons I had been to. But I had been to play parties and events before, and I had never played at them because I had been in a monogamous relationship at the time. Those ain't great for me. I don't do them anymore. So it was like my first con, I think, that I was single at. And wound up casually mentioning that I hadn't really had a ton of experience with folks going down on me ever before. I had a partner who tried like once or twice and was very not particularly enthusiastic about it. And that was about it. And it was a thing I was curious about. Rumor has it feels good. So I was talking to our friend Taylor J. Mace, who I have since learned gets shit done, and they ran off and frolicked around the party, starting to collect volunteers. And I mean this, like, at exactly as it sounds. They would yell from across, and the room we were in, this was Queer Prom, the, like, party at during the event, I think, on one of the last nights.
It was like a high school gymnasium-sized room, almost. It was a pretty big room.
Yeah, like, hotel conference room, set up, like, Queer Prom, and from the other side, they would be in a group, and they would be like, Bex, I have these three, any of these, what do you think? No, it's fine, I'll keep looking, no, it's fine, hang on, this person over here, this person is down, what do you think? Maybe? It's fine, we'll come back to them. And, like, literally just lining up, like, volunteers, and my personal favorite was a mutual friend of ours who came up to me and said, and I quote, I would chew through a park bench to eat your cunt, which is just so good.
It's indelibly in my mind forever. I'll be 80 and will have lost all my other memories and I'll still recall I'll chew through a park bench to eat your cunt.
Yeah, it's just so good. And so that person, wound up throwing a party that night up in their hotel room, and they came over to me and they're like, so there's a play party up in the hotel room tonight, you know, and we would love to make that happen for you. And I was like, oh yeah, let me like check in with people and ask about it. And they were like, no, like you're going to the party. It's just, let us know if you're bringing anyone else. So then I wound up going up to that party, and that person beat me and did not actually wind up going down on me. But another friend of ours went down on me that night while I think my head was laying just in Taylor's lap. They were just present.
That's ideal.
And like several other folks were doing shit to my chest. There was one person with glitter lipstick, and by the end of the evening, most of the people in the hotel room had glitter lipstick. I think someone was getting kicked and or fucked by a foot on the floor next to the bed, whereas there was also just lots of cuddling and making out, and me just in the middle of the bed with lots of mouths on me. And that was my first group sex experience.
That's good. That's a great start to your group sex career.
It really was. And then the next day we had a threesome.
Yeah.
With the same person, the same guy.
Yeah.
That went down on me.
Yeah, he had a good mouth on him. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. It was pretty solid. Ooh, can you tell me about, if you remember, the first time you dropped into Little Space?
Yeah, I think it probably would have been with that same dominant first fuck buddy partner person I was talking about earlier. Because he actually, like, knew that I was curious about DDLG stuff and would be like, you know, you can call me daddy, like, you can, and I can call you, like, little girl or whatever. And I was like, I'm good, actually. Like, I just, like, didn't really feel that way about him. But we would still kind of, like, play with elements of it. I think I was, like, still getting comfortable with the idea of it, just, like, for myself. I'm going to talk about alcohol. So I'm going to give you a little bit of time. If alcohol is a triggering thing for you, you can pause the podcast right before I talk about alcohol. Okay, so I didn't like this guy. When I would go over to his house, I sometimes would drink a lot because I didn't like him. And it made it easier for me to be around him in the part before the sex started if I drank a lot. And to be clear, all the sex in kink was like fully consensual. I knew what I was doing. I just knew the before the sex part, I didn't really like hanging out with him or talking to him. So I would just like have a couple drinks before I went over there. Not healthy, not great. Unless it was.
And we are no longer doing this.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, I do this now, but for different reasons and in different ways. Like, I understand now that intoxication is one of my kinks. But back then, I think I didn't fully realize that I was doing it partly because it turned me on to do it. I definitely knew I was doing it because I didn't like the guy, and I definitely knew that was not great, but it was just sort of a temporary situation. I knew that. So I think, like, for me, intoxication has often sort of unlocked my little space because it takes away a lot of the inhibitions I have about, like, seeming weird if I just, like, start acting and talking like a little girl in a sexual scenario. So it definitely made it easier for me to, like, accept my own inclinations and desires, and certainly, like, the fact that he was really explicitly, openly open to that was helpful. So I remember probably, like, it was him spanking me or something when I would kind of, like, go into little space and start experimenting with how my little self talked and what she was like. And I started learning about her through that. And it's just grown from there. All right. This one's pretty basic. I don't know how we skipped over it. But tell me about your first orgasm.
Well, so I love this question. Because the answer is, I don't really know. My first orgasm was a thing I chased for a while. Again, because, like, I didn't just come to masturbation as a thing that I discovered happened to feel good in touching my body. And, I know a lot of folks, like, find out masturbation is a thing that has a name that other people do after they've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
I was never that kid. I found out about it conceptually several years later. I figured maybe it applied to me. Who to thunk? Again, dysphoria. But so that meant I had an intellectual, like, awareness and understanding of orgasms before I had them, and it was a thing that I was, like, chasing and exploring and felt like I was really struggling to have. And a lot of that was because our cultural understanding of the orgasm, I guess, is that it is an explosive and very clear and distinctive event that happens. And it, like, it feels like fireworks or roller coasters or whatever.
Yeah.
Divine intervention. and it, like, for me, I had, like, peaks in my roller coaster, but they were all just kind of like, meh, this is fine. This is cool. This feels good. And looking back, I recognize that they are, like smaller orgasms in the beginning of my sex life pre-testosterone. I was a person who had multiples very easily, mm-hmm. And often would have multiples to warm up to a larger one. Mm-hmm. And I recognized that I was in that place a lot, and I was having small orgasms here and there. But it was more a process of recognizing and naming them than it was a process of like doing a bunch of things and then having this memory of like, all of a sudden I had the orgasm and it, and I understood it and it felt, you know, a very particular way. It was much more like I was able to look back and kind of recontextualize experiences I've had mm-hmm. as kind of a continuum of pleasure and like not necessarily look at orgasm as the pinnacle and peak of all feel good ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. An important realization for us all.
Yeah. Do you remember the first time you used a sex toy on a partner?
I do. I don't know if this is like the first time. All those memories are really blendy. But this is like the first time that felt significant to me was I was dating my first serious boyfriend, and I had like fairly recently started my sex blog, and he was like very chill with me using sex toys and with using sex toys on me, but we hadn't really gotten into like using them on him. I think it wasn't like he was like put off by the idea, but he just like was kind of slightly intimidated about it, I think. So mm-hmm. what we did was I had been sent one of those like Bullet Vibe sleeves that's like a tiny little rabbit that goes like silicone rabbit that goes around the Bullet Vibe, and it's just this little handheld thing where like the ears of the rabbit will like flap very quickly from the vibration when it's on. So I had one of those, and like I didn't really like it for myself because like Bullet Vibes are traditionally pretty buzzy, and like that particular type of stimulation just didn't really do it for me. And I remember one night we were just having a night where like I don't know if I didn't have the energy to have sex, or I'm not really sure, but so he was jerking off and I was like curled up beside him and I was like, I want to help. I want to like use this vibe on you. Or maybe I was just like, I want to use a toy on you. And we started like looking through my collection and I found that thing and he was like, yeah, that looks cool. Like maybe you could like use that on my balls while I jerk off. And I did that and he liked it so much. And I also really aww. Liked it too. I was like, oh, like I didn't know that I would like using toys on partners. And I have continued to like it. And like nowadays, I even like it for different reasons in that like it's often the more accessible thing for me as someone with like chronic pain and like strength issues. So yeah, that was definitely a formative experience. I'm glad he liked my rabbit. All right. I think that's it. Thank you again so much to Ari for submitting that idea. I just, as soon as I read that, I was like, yes, we should do that. And I also want to just say thank you so much to all of our wonderful listeners. I cannot believe that we've done 200 of these. And, you know, all the usual platitudes. We couldn't have done it without you. We appreciate your existence. All of that kind of stuff. It's all true. I've been, as always, Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net. Actually, if you, like, scroll back to the very beginning, some of these stories are in there from when I was a tiny beeb. I also have writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. And I co-host another podcast currently on hiatus, but with a great backlog. It's called Question Box. Where's your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find my writing at BexTalkSex.com, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram at BexTalkSex. Together we're the Dildorks. We're on Twitter and Instagram at the Dildorks and at thedildorks.com, where you can find all 200 of those episodes. They are also over on patreon.com/thedildorks, where you can toss a couple of bucks our way to help us make another 200 episodes. And to get yourself access to our exclusive hypotheticals, which are little mini bonus shorts that have us answering very silly hypothetical questions while very high.
Thank you so much to Protodome, who did our theme song that we've been using for 200 episodes. It's called I Want You in My Bedroom. It's off his album Chip Funk, which you can find on Spotify or Bandcamp or wherever you want to find Protodome's music. Thank you to Amy, who did our logo. She is at starboots_ on Twitter. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye.
Bye.
Do you want this? Let's make I want you in the
morning. Let's stay with me. Recording bareback today. Also, I just started recording.
Yeah, me too. Do you want to do a countdown?
Okay. Yeah, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
That time my brain went disco, like as if that comes after one. Is that a thing people say? I don't really know.
I don't think so.
No, I just heard a very distinct voice in my head go, say disco.
Mine said liftoff, but...
Oh, I mean, they sound similar.
Does.
Huh. So, phonetically.
There is a House episode where they talk about how some people organize their brains based on the words that rhyme together, and other people organize their brains based on words that mean similar things. Mm-hmm. And it's just, and I don't know how much of that is based in fact, but I think of it like once a month.
There's so much about like House that I think about constantly.
Yeah.
It's just so fucking good, but it's just full of haunting notions. Every episode, really at least one haunting notion.
Just sticks with you, man. Mm-hmm. Do you have an answer for the safe word one? Because I would like to ask it if you have it.
No, because when I'm actually upset, I tend to not safe word. I tend to just be like, hey, that wasn't cool. Like...